Ashanti Kingdom through the internet at www.spiritfmonline.com to all parts of Africa, Europe, Asia, Antarctica, Middle East, and the Americas. Spirit FM, positive soul music.
I hear the sound of a mighty rushing wind.
Welcome to Issues of Life on Spirit 88.3 FM. 60 minutes of news, prophecies, music, and the Word every Saturday from 8 to 9 p.m. Get revived, inspired, motivated, and warned about the times we are living in. Prophecies of old are unfolding right before our eyes every day. Verses in the Bible are today's headline news. Don't be ignorant, but be an informed believer. Join Brother Eben for the next 60 minutes and be blessed. Get this edition and others from spiritissues.info.
We'll be good.
Good evening to all listeners. Thank you for tuning in to Spirit 88.3 FM. I'm Eben. I'll be with you from now till 9 p.m. And we are continuing our discussion. So LP Hetty will be joining. She's on the way. But before then, I'll be looking at some of the news, the things happening in the world. Then we get into the conversation, the discussions. We are talking about the parenting issues and all. You know, a lot is happening. Look at some of the things happening in the world and you realize, I've said this so many times, how parenting of this generation or of the times now cannot be compared to previous times or previous years or generations ago, because the dynamics are not the same. A whole lot of changes, and such that if you, as a parent, you refuse to be knowledgeable, you would run into error, because the things that define childhood, teenage, and the youthful ages now is not what defined these ages when we were on previous generations, let me put it that way. So to be a child now, the expectations from the child relative to what the parents can do is different. The teenage, the same. And both ways, what parents expect from the teenage is different from what the teenagers also expect from the parents. You know, the expectations are different. The youth is even more complicated. And so the whole issue of parenting, the family life, everything has changed. And the change is such that if you are not careful, you would run into errors which can have very serious consequences on the overall family life or on the life of a particular child or the children. So that's why we keep talking about some of these things, because new things keep coming up, and that's very serious that we just can't ignore it. All right, so looking at some things in the news, let me have this to start. Christian farming communities under siege as U.S. reports names Fulani militants as Nigeria's deadliest threat. And I believe this is not a strange thing to people who have been listening to this program. We talk about these. They gave the estimates of 30,000 Fulani militants operating in Nigeria at the moment. And their targets often are Christian communities, villages, even though sometimes they attack Muslim communities that are refusing their radical form of the religion. So, and unfortunately, that's what the government sometimes uses it as an excuse that, but they are not killing only Christians. So when Donald Trump or the other Christian speakers or leaders talk about the fact that it's a Christian genocide, it's wrong. Yes, to some extent. But the truth is, how of the percentage of people being killed, how many are Christians? That's the larger percentage, of course. And the intent of they not just killing, but sometimes asking people to recant or renounce their faith in Christ and all that makes it clearly a religious thing. So we just can't ignore it as it doesn't matter. It matters. But it's very unfortunate. I saw a video of the Nigerian president today talking about this issue, and it's pathetic because the man wasn't making any sense in any way. I mean, the lady who was presenting it, she is a Nigerian. She herself was confused because it's like she's saying she needs an interpreter because what the man is saying, she can't even... It's like there's no head and tail of it. He was just rattling something. And realize the government has no solution. They have no solution to their problem there. And it's very unfortunate. Okay, church leaders raised alarm over record 55% increase in abortions in Scotland. Following the news that abortion has reached record levels in Scotland, the Catholic Church has called for greater support for pregnant women and has expressed concern about the increase in abortions on the grounds of disability. This is serious. 55% increase. Okay. Then, you know, there are some news that when you see it, you ask yourself, should the church be talking about this? Sarah Fisher, installed as the first openly lesbian episcopal bishop in Southern America. So, the Reverend Sarah Fisher has been installed as the bishop of an episcopal church diocese, reportedly becoming the first woman in the same-sex relationship to be elevated to that position in the Southern United States. Fisher, who is in a same-sex union with another reverend, Kai. Fisher, who is in a same-sex union with the Reverend Mandy Brady, was installed as the 9th bishop of the North Carolina-based Episcopal Diocese of East Carolina on Saturday. Although there have been other openly gay bishops in the Episcopal Church, the spokesperson for the denomination told the Christian Post on Wednesday that, to her knowledge, Bishop Fisher is the first openly lesbian Episcopal Church bishop for a diocese based in the South. You know, these are not churches any longer. You know, these are, as you can call it, synagogues of Satan. As one of the, you know, you read the book of Revelation, it's talked about synagogue of Satan. This is what these churches have transformed to become. Because, you see, when a church openly flaunts sin and is not ashamed of it, is not in denial of it, is openly embracing it and endorsing it and making it seem like they are rather doing the right thing, it has lost its bearing, it has lost its focus. Because, I mean, on what basis can this be called a church when you have a bishop who is a lesbian getting married to another reverend? And, you know, the people I blame most are the people who go to church and sit under these people, I mean, in front of these people to be preached to. They are the ones who have a bigger problem. Because had everybody turned away from their auditoriums when they were elevated to become irreverent in the first instance, at least the church leaders would have seen that the people know what is right and what is wrong. But when you have leaders in open sin, not just any sin, but open, abominable sexual sin, such as this, and the church is still thriving, and there's elevation of position still going on, it's no longer a church. It's no longer a church. You know, and it's very unfortunate how we are seeing things playing out in these end times, because yes, prophecy has to be fulfilled, but sometimes you just wonder why people are allowing themselves to be victims. These church members obviously have no excuse to tell God that they didn't know this is a sin? How can you say you don't know it's a sin? What type of Bible do you read? So if you see clearly, it tells you a compromise position of the church. And if the Bible cannot be preached holistically, because this bishop cannot preach from Romans chapter 1. I mean, she dare not open Romans chapter 1 because it would go against her beliefs. Clearly, if portions of the Bible will be edited or will be skipped in the line of preaching, then it tells you there's something wrong with the church. And it's very unfortunate. This next one. Most Canadian evangelicals hold on biblical beliefs, according to a new poll. Before I get into this news item, you know, I read about these polls in this program, and you know, the polls give a reflection of the reality of the state of the church in whichever area, jurisdiction that these polls are done, conducted. And increasingly, you are seeing a decline. Whichever demographics you pick, you are seeing a decline in various indices that are measured, be it the worldview, be it the issue of beliefs, biblical beliefs, be it, I mean, whichever way, there is a decline from the positive to the negative, a decline. And it's very worrying because you see that the church, and in this church, I mean, when I say the church, I'm talking of the Universal Church, there is a problem. Because if you take Europe as a block, there's a complete reduction in numbers, a complete reduction. Now, Europe as we know it, if you are to take all the African churches out of Europe, what is left is not something we're talking about as Christians, because now the mainstay of Christianity in Europe is largely the African churches. If all the African churches are to shut down today, there's little left of Christianity. In Germany, for instance, you have the numbers so bad. I mean, a pastor told me, an Assemblies of God pastor who is in Germany, told me once that, you know, the church, a church where he is, for instance, is virtually, there are no young people in the church. It's only old people. And as they get sick and as they die, the numbers keep reducing and all that. And the youth are not going to church. The parents, the middle-aged parents are not going to church, let alone taking their children to church. So it gives a very bleak future when you look at it from that angle. So Europe, as it is, Christianity is in crisis there. America, as we know it, United States, as it, I mean, Christianity is also like this Episcopal thing. I mean, just an example of how the church is really going down in terms of morality and beliefs, Bible, biblical standards and all, and a whole lot. But this is in Canada. This poll is in Canada. And when people are shifting from what the Bible says to what they think what the Bible is saying is wrong, then it tells you there's a big problem. Because as soon as a Christian begins to question the Bible, it's one of the major indicators that something has gone amiss spiritually. So a majority of evangelicals in Canada hold religious beliefs that contradict key Christian teachings, according to a LifeWay research report. Ligonia Ministry in Canada, Ontario-based Christian organization, released the findings of a survey it conducted in partnership with LifeWay Research on Wednesday, known as the State of Theology Survey. The report found that 73% of Canadian evangelical respondents agreed with the statement that everyone is born innocent in the eyes of God, while 60% agree that everyone sins a little, but most people are good by nature. These results display a profound misunderstanding regarding the foundational biblical teaching about the original sin and the implications of Adam's sin for all mankind. Romans 5:18-19, Ephesians 2:1-3, explained Ligonier. The survey also found that 66% of evangelical respondents agreed with the statement, "The Holy Spirit is a force, but it's not a personal being." Even though, according to the same survey, 93% affirm the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. These are not minor details, stated Chris Larson, chairman of the board of Ligonia Ministries Canada, in the announcement. They are fundamental truths. If we get these wrong, we don't have Christianity at all. Yes, I agree. Many Christians live with what our founder, Dr. R.C. Sproul, called happy inconsistencies. They affirm certain biblical truths whilst unknowingly hold contradictory beliefs. Everyone is a theologian, R.C. said, but the question is whether they are a good one or a poor one. And poor theology, no matter how sincerely held, can lead to confusion, compromise, and even spiritual harm. According to the State of the Theology website, the report drew from a survey conducted October 16th to 30th last year with a sample size of 3,005 and a margin of error of plus or minus 1.9% at a 95% confidence level. The report defined an evangelical as someone who agrees that the Bible is the highest authority for what I believe. It is very important for me personally to encourage non-Christians to trust Jesus Christ as the Savior. Jesus Christ's death on the cross is the only sacrifice that could remove the penalty of my sin. And only those who trust in Jesus Christ alone as their Savior receive God's free gift of eternal salvation. Ligonia Ministries Canada was launched in 2019 as the Canadian chapter of the Stamford, Florida-based Ligonia Ministries itself, created in 1971 by the late R.C. Sproul. I wonder how R.C. Sproul and the likes, the early fathers, will feel if they read this type of surveys, respondents from supposed Christians. You know, when you have Christians who question that, how can Christ be the only way? I mean, then it tells you are not a Christian, because clearly you don't even understand the tenets, what really makes you a Christian in the first place. You know, but this is all too common now. There are people who question it, that it's not possible for God to accept only one way. Wow, that's interesting. So there are many ways, and you know, all sorts of doctrines, and it tells you how serious the issue is. The last news item is disturbing, worrying, and disturbing at the same time. There are two news items, but one, I'll just summarize it, and then the other one, I'll read it. The last one is AI voice cloning scams. Parents should beware. And this is, for now, we've not had any in Ghana, but as technology evolves and crime increases, and crime also is easy to move from one point to the other by virtue of seeing it online and all, parents should be aware, not just parents, but everyone should be aware of AI cloning. And let me explain how it works. Your voice is recorded. For instance, in my case, that my voice is, I speak radio, it's easy to get my voice, it's online, recorded, issues of life, you can easily just get my voice. So you get the voice, use, pass it through any AI software, this AI systems that does this voice synthesizing and all that, cloning. So now they clone my voice and then they call you, that's, oh, this is Eben. And you see, you hear the voice, you know that, yes, this is the same person, of course. It sounds the same. Almost 98%, I mean similarity. So they use it to scam parents, blackmail, kidnap, threats, all this is happening. And it sounds so real that the reaction of most people is more of belief first than doubt. Because it sounds so real. Like the voice you know, the person you know, your child, and all. So it's like, I mean, if you don't pay this, do this, something. I mean, various ways of scamming, social engineering strategies, stuff and all. So at least people should be aware of this scamming thing. As I said, I'm not aware of we recording any such case here in Ghana, but with the way the technology is evolving very fast, I will not be surprised if these 419 fraudsters, you know, these people who do this Momo fraud and all that, eventually they would evolve into those level of, you know, crime. So when you get such a call and the voice is similar and all that, that's why what people should do now is have a coded message, a code. So parents should have a family code. The family agree that, okay, so if you are called anything like that where you are calling a parent or somebody relative is calling and all that, there should be a code that you can use to verify that indeed this is the real person talking, not an AI clone voice recorded that is talking to you. So if there's a family code that, okay, so what is the code? If it's an AI, they don't know the code. So realize that they will cut the call or they will just insult you and then end it because they don't know the code. So parents should have a code, an agreed code with their children amongst the family. Know that, okay, in case there's you call and I ask what is the code, you say, okay, fine, whatever number, something. AABC or 114, something, a code that is unique to only you know it. So that is a way of verifying that it's a human, you are talking to a real human being, not a clone or just an AI system. It's becoming important we talk about these things as well because, you know, you see and hear things and sometimes you just marvel as to the level of harm we are gradually pushing ourselves into. And that takes me to the last news item. Elon Musk predicts, this headline is not my headline, I'm reading it as it is. Elon Musk predicts brain implant company Neuralink will soon yield Jesus-level miracles of science. Jesus-level miracles of science. Neuralink is Elon Musk's company, one of his companies, and they've been researching with huge monies, millions of dollars, to put chips, whatever, whether one or more, but at least a chip in the brain of human beings. And so far, from their report, they say it's successful. They are saying it, but I don't doubt it. So you can control things with your thoughts, at the thought level. Control things at the thought level. You know, Elon Musk is doing some things and saying some things which is really getting close into the Antichrist system. So let's get into this news. Elon Musk, the billionaire entrepreneur who once wore satanic armor as a Halloween costume, says his company, Neuralink, is on the cusp of introducing Jesus-level sort of technologies. During a virtual appearance on May 18th at Israel's 9th International Samsung Smart Mobility Summit, Musk, 54, described Neuralink's ambitious brain-computer interface project and highlighted the company's goals to restore sight and mobility to patients with severe disabilities. Later this year, we expect to do our first implant for what we call blind sight, where even if somebody has lost both eyes, or lost the optic nerve, or perhaps has never been able to see, even if they were blind at birth, it will give them initially limited vision, but I think over time, very precise vision, perhaps superhuman vision, he said. Restoring control of tetraplegics and restoring sight, I think, are pretty big deals. You might call them Jesus-level technologies, miracles of science, Musk added, drawing laughter from the audience. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus repeatedly performed several miracles, including restoring sight to the blind, as recorded most famously at the Pool of Siloam in John 9, with the man who was born blind, and Luke 18, when he healed a blind man in Jericho. The Neuralink discussion was part of a wide-ranging interview covering Tesla's progress in autonomous driving, humanoid robots, SpaceX Starship, and humanity's long-term future. On Tesla's full self-driving technology, which relies solely on cameras and AI, Musk expressed strong confidence. I expect this approach to ultimately be at least an order of magnitude safer than humans driving, he said. He noted that unsupervised FSD, that's full self-driving vehicles, are already operating without safety monitors in 3 Texas cities and predicted widespread deployment in the U.S. by the year's end. Looking further ahead, Musk predicted that 10 years from now, probably 90% of all distance driving will be driven by AI in a self-driving car, he added. Overwhelmingly, it will be quite a niche thing in 10 years to actually be driving your own car. The car will drive you. Musk championed Tesla's Optimus humanoid robot and envisioned a future dominated by intelligent machines. My prediction is that there will be far more intelligent robots in the world than there will be people, he said, prefacing his prediction by saying, we should always be concerned about such a thing because Terminator is one of the possible outcomes. Musk says he remains optimistic about AI. I think it will usher in an age of not universal basic income, but universal high income, he said. Whilst undeniably lofty goals can hardly be described as nefarious, some have speculated about whether Musk has the ultimate agenda, one that perhaps stems from what at least one Christian thinker has described as a worldview that veers towards atheistic transhumanism. Atheistic transhumanism. And, you know, let me pause here and talk about, you know, the early read where the sons of God in Genesis came and had affairs with women and they gave birth to Nephilims and all these things. This agenda of transhumanism is playing along that line. A hybrid type of human system using technology. And, you know, we are really seeing things which should be very worrying to church leaders and Christians because, you know, when issues about transhumanism comes in, the first thing is humans are now trying to play God, trying to outsmart God. Before I finish the news or this, I remember one Nigerian pastor talking recently in which he was sharing a vivid dream or vision the Lord showed him regarding some things about to happen in the end times and all that. And the portion he was talking about, which he was very worried about, was he got into a situation and in the midst of it, he wanted to show the power of God by performing miracles to prove that yeah, Jesus is real and powerful and all that. So when he wanted to pray for somebody who was sick to be healed and all that, the people around started laughing at him. But miracle for what? I mean, now technology can do bigger miracles. So what's the big deal? So if you listen to what I just read from Elon Musk, it tells you where we are going. Where they are going to do things, they are going to play God endure things to the point where now it's like we don't need God again. Because if human beings can do this, people who have not seen from birth, technology can make it possible for them to see. People who have not walked, technology can make it possible for them to walk. All sorts of diseases with AI, chemical combinations now, in labs, they are doing serious. Virtually, they can cure almost any terminal disease can be cured and all that. Now, if you say, well, you are going to pray for the miracle of God, for the power of God to... I mean, what power of God? Technology is doing it. So why your God? We don't need your God again. We are now our own gods. This is where we are going. And this is the game that these people, these globalists, are going to play it and play it hard to challenge God and prove that they are gods. So it's very interesting times we are in. But I believe, you know, when we are aware of these things, when we get to these points, we will not be confused. We will not fall for the deception. Because it's very important. Because let me just finish with this verse. I love that portion of Matthew 24, 24. I mean, it just narrates exactly these things. Matthew 24, 24 says, "For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, in so much that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect." It tells you the magnitude of miracles that these people will perform. As to the type of miracles they will perform through tech, whether technology or whichever, demonic, whatever. But something, things, they will challenge God with miracles. They will do things to deceive. And it will be too obvious that this is a miracle that you can't deny it.
When God said, go and save my people. Mm-hmm. Just as the Egyptians did.
Yeah.
Oh, you can turn a rod into a snake.
Oh, yes. Pharaoh's magicians. Exactly. They did, I think, three miracles.
They did.
Before, eventually, they couldn't do any again. So, we should be aware of these technological things we are delving into. You see, and that's why the church cannot play silent or be as if we don't care about these things. That's why it's better to know it from the positive side so that you can defend it when the deception or the negative is making inroads. Because you see, negative things make it strong, like they're able to cause more harm when there's a high level of ignorance. But if there's knowledge, there's illumination, it's difficult to just deceive the people like that. All right, so we have LP Hetty this evening with us, and we'll continue from where we left off last week. You know, advising parents, talking about these things is so crucial and important because the times are very some way. I mean, that's the right word to use. Oh, yes, the times are very, very some way.
Yeah, okay. Good evening to all our lovely listeners this evening. Especially to all my parents at Havencrest Christian School and to all the beautiful parents at Church Growth Assemblies of God, all the mothers, all the fathers, and everybody listening from all over the world. Thank you very much. Tonight, we want to begin with a question. And I mean, just as Brother Eben, you said, I mean, there's this illumination that is not available. But, I mean, what if the greatest truth? My brother, you know, when I was coming in this evening, I had so much I was sharing some few things with you earlier in the day. And I've really been thinking because some of the things you see and then you get scared. You get alarmed.
Oh, yeah. So this evening, I looked at it about five times. Seriously. Yeah.
You get alarmed and
no.
You're thinking, even you yourself, are you safe? I mean, are you doing enough as a parent? Are you doing enough? And I started thinking, parents, listening to us, I want you to answer this question. What if the greatest threat to our children is not outside our homes? I decided to look at it from another angle. You see, when you were talking, you spoke about the illumination, like how we can attack or no, not I mean fight these things from within. Mm-hmm. How we can protect our children. So what if it is not drugs? What if it is not bad friends? What if it is not social media? I mean, not even the darkness in the world.
Yeah.
What if the greatest threat is that many children are slowly, Brother Eben, many children are slowly growing up disconnected from the very people who love them the most? You know, years ago, parents worried about, I mean, whether their children had food. I mean, years ago. But today, many children have food. They have clothing. They have gadgets. They have good schools.
Yeah.
Good schools and, you know, quotation marks. But something deeper is missing.
It's serious.
Many children are starving emotionally while appearing perfectly fine. Many children...
I think this one, let me pause you.
Please pause me and come in.
We have some time. Let me quickly read something which...
connects to what I'm saying.
A bishop's wife sent me last week.
Please do.
I don't know, perhaps you might have seen it
in
a group or something, but she sent this, where is gifts, yeah, it's, I'll try and read just the important part, because it affects exactly us into exactly what we are talking about, and it's that serious. It's really serious. Okay, yeah. So... okay, so a suicide note written by a 15-year-old girl.
Wow.
Lessons for all. Dear mom, it's with a heavy heart that I write you this note, knowing the amount of pain it is going to cause you. Mom, I want you to know that I love you dearly and I'll ever love you. If I'm given the opportunity to live again, I'll still choose you as my mom and our family will still be my place of birth. But unfortunately... I know that there's not going to be any such opportunity. Mom, I didn't want to do this, but I was compelled by circumstances beyond my control to take this plunge.
I see.
I tried my best to pull through, but my best was not enough. Wow. I battled alone for about 13 months now until my strength failed me. You and Dad could not decipher what I was going through, and maybe I should not blame you for that. My one and only brother came very close to understanding what I was passing through, but it was too much for his young mind to comprehend. Mom, I know that you and Dad loved me and did everything you could to prove that to me, but I was not feeling loved.
Wow.
I was not feeling loved. You provided for me more than I even wanted.
Wow.
Took me to places that most of my mates have not even heard of.
Yeah.
Yet, despite all these, my heart was longing for love. I needed someone who would love me for who I was. I needed someone who would reach the depth of my soul and fill the vacuum there. The material provisions you spoiled me with could not do that. And I was alone all the while, despite the fact that we laughed together and had a gist as a family.
Despite the facts.
Then came the last straw that broke the camel's back. Your brother, Uncle Tony, who came to live with us, made me to believe that he knew exactly what my soul was longing for. Companionship. He chose to stay with me when you and Dad were too busy to notice my loneliness. He tried to keep me company when I needed someone to talk to, but had only gadgets and teddy bears as my company. I was fooled to trust him, and he hacked into my foolishness, and he did it perfectly and deeply. Mom, your brother raped me and used me as a sex toy for 3 whole years.
Wow.
I expected you or Dad to notice, but none of you did. When he left our house last year, I was shattered because I had grown to fill the void. I was shattered because I have grown to fill the void of your presence with his dirty deeds. I couldn't complain because I was afraid to lose him. But when he eventually left for Canada, the magnitude of the emptiness in me became too heavy for me to carry.
Merci.
I struggled to forget those experiences, but I could not. My grades dropped in school, and you and Dad quickly arranged for a home lesson teacher. Mom, that singular act, instead of helping me, fueled what is about to happen to me a few minutes from now. The home lesson teacher you brought so much reminded me of Uncle Tony. And on several occasions, I felt like grabbing him and making him fill the gap that Tony's absence created in me. Mommy, I had to do this because I was lonely. Did you ever imagine that what I was doing in my room all the time I stayed alone? Couldn't you, for once, have gone out of your way to just spend some time with me so that we could talk? There are many things I would have liked to tell you, but I don't want to add to your pain. So let those other torments be buried with this undignified body of mine. Please make sure that my brother David doesn't get to the point where I am now. Also tell your friends and colleagues who have children to find out what is happening in their beloved home kids before it gets too late. Many of the things parents do in the name of showing love are not what we, the younger ones, need. I would have gone long hours before you would get to read this note. But one cheering thing is that David is still there with you. Transfer the love you had from me to him. My bank details and passwords on my phones and laptops are on a piece of paper I dropped in the drawer of your dressing table. I miss you, and it pains me to empty the content of this bottle in my hand into my mouth, but I am constrained to do it all the same. Tell Dad and David that I love them. Tell your pastor that I will miss his sermons and long prayers. Tell my friends not to envy me. Goodbye, Mom. That was a suicide note 15-year-old girl dropped for her mother before taking her life.
I don't know if I should end whatever I'm coming to say, because like I mentioned, I had so many things on my mind to discuss with us, but what the Holy Spirit drew my attention to was on parents building connections with their children. Mm-hmm. And this suicide note basically speaks everything in real life.
Yeah.
And so, dear parents listening to us, if you really listened to this child's suicide note, please take note. Your children need connection. Uh-huh. You know, like I started saying, many parents are working hard for their children, but unintentionally drifting away from them.
Yeah.
And while we are busy building houses, paying fees, chasing opportunities and securing futures, another voice is speaking to our children. The internet is speaking. Friends is speaking. Sadly, this girl, it was her uncle who came in speaking. Uh-huh. Culture is speaking, influencers are speaking, and if we are not intentional, the world will shape our children while we are still trying to provide for them.
Yeah.
So tonight, sincerely, is not about guilt. It's not to make everybody or anybody listening to us exactly feel guilty. It's about awareness. It's about rebuilding hearts. It's about restoring connection, and it's about ensuring that 20 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, our children do not simply remember what we provided. They remember how deeply they were known, how deeply they were loved, how deeply they were guided, protected, and understood. So to our dear listeners, wherever you are listening from, please lean in. Because tonight may be the conversation that changes a family forever. Last week, Brother Ben, there was a scripture the Holy Spirit gave us, and we dived into it. Mm-hmm. And for a very beautiful reason, I want us to go into it again.
Yeah.
Judges chapter 2, verse 10. Mm-hmm. I want to read it. After that whole generation had been gathered to their ancestors, another generation grew up who neither knew the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Tonight, I want us to look at this verse differently. Because I don't think this verse is, I mean, like we discussed, it's not only about God. Mm-hmm. It's also about relationships. I think it's about connection. But even, I've been doing deep thinking about this thing.
Yeah.
It's about connection. I think it's about conversations that stopped happening.
Yeah, something went amiss.
Something went amiss. We stopped chatting with our children. I think it's about stories that stopped being told. Mm-hmm. It's about hearts that stopped meeting. Parents and children's hearts that stopped meeting. A time came, or a time has come, most parents and their children's hearts don't meet.
Serious.
And I also think that many children really remember what nobody consistently shared. As in at home, most of our children do not what they remember is the shouting or the correction when they make errors. But that form of connection is not there. And so,
you know, sorry to cut
in. That's okay.
This week I saw a report, very worrying. I don't know, but these days the things I see makes me because of this work.
The one I saw this earlier today.
that because of this work, yeah. It makes you.
It exposes you to a lot of things.
There's a large number of youth now who are cutting off from their parents when they are of age.
Yes. Yes, yes.
At least in Ghana, the survey is not in Ghana, but this is outside. But
it's happening.
The danger is it will soon creep in here because, you know, these days they pick things from everywhere. TikTok. So it becomes a trend and then they would want to follow it. Because there's no connection at home.
There's no connection.
As soon as they have their freedom, they are of age, they finish university, they get their job and they can be independent, they cut off.
I'll send you a video.
They don't want to have anything with their parents.
No.
And that's a serious.
They don't.
It's a serious issue.
If I should start, I might.
No, but the foundation is still based on what you are.
I'll send you a video after I talk tonight.
Okay.
Where children insult their parents, in fact, cut the calls, and the one who was talking, I mean, the parents coach was like, "Are you not the one who bought the phone or who paid?" Mm-hmm. But I'll send you the video. So what you're saying is the truth. And one of the greatest parenting myths of our time, Brother Eben, is that many parents believe if I love my child automatically feels connected to me. Mm-hmm. You see, the child from the suicide note said, "I know you love me." And it showed by the things you provided.
Yeah.
But there was a connection, there was a gap.
Yeah.
And that's the myth. That's the issue with us parents. We feel, I love my child. I provide for my child. So my child should know that mommy loves me. But psychology teaches something powerful. Children experience love differently from how we parents, intend love. As a parent, I would say, I work hard for my child.
Yeah.
I stay up late. For my child. But my child will say, my father never talks to me. Mm-hmm. My parents never have conversations with me. So the parents feel love because, I went out. My child needed shoes. I bought the shoes for the child. The child said, "Mommy, daddy, can we go and buy this?" I went to buy for the child. But the child feels distance. And both. The truth is, as parents and the children, we are telling the truth because I feel I'm doing this. So
And all the suffering parents are going through is because of the children.
Oh, I mean, I'm waiting a year, bro. That is what we always say. I mean, why will I wake up at dawn as a parent? Some of us, 5 p.m., 4 p.m., we are on our way. And then we come back home late, 8 p.m., 9 p.m. For what reason? So that the life I did not get, my child can get. But dear parents listen, our children need connections. They need conversations. They need more than just material things. They need our presence. So love and connection are not the same thing. Connection is when a child feels seen. This child never felt seen. You were providing. You see, at a point she mentioned that, all the things Uncle Tony did 3 good years, you never for once. In fact, when I was in the room all by myself, you never for once made the attempt that, "Let me enter the room and find out. Are you okay? I mean, what's happening?" Even if it is as a parent, I'm on my phone. Let me just go and sit there. My child is also on their phone. Let's all be on our phones. And by you, is there anything we should discuss, which is not even supposed to be on the phones and all that?
Do you know recently? So sorry for
cutting. It's okay, brother.
A friend was telling me of a case where a child had grown to age 6 or 7 or something before the mother was noticing that the child had ADHD, one of these learning.
Yeah, ADHD, yes, ADHD.
And it's like...
So 6 years.
Yes, because this woman is rich, so house helps do everything at home.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And but it shows this connection issue. How was the mother relating with this daughter?
She leaves early, comes back late. She leaves, the child is sleeping.
Or notice these deficiencies. Comes back late,
the child is already asleep. And probably goes to give the child a peg.
So it's now that they are spending money with special education, special teachers. And
Another way a child feels connection is when they feel heard. I have a problem. Don't just listen. Can you hear me? Or my silence, I'm not talking, but can you hear that I feel I'm confused. I need help. Another way children feel connection is when they feel known, when they feel safe, when they feel understood, and they feel valued. Now, my dear, somebody will ask why some children stop talking to their parents, like you were saying. They cut their calls or they just disconnect from their parents.
Yeah.
Children rarely stop talking suddenly. It didn't happen suddenly.
It's a gradual
thing. The silence starts much earlier. And sometimes children stop talking because every conversation becomes correction. Mommy, I found this new friend. What does it? It's a correction. No. You don't do that.
Rebuke.
Do it like rebuking.
Rebuke. Yeah.
So, okay, let me just keep things to myself. But if I come and say it right now, Miko King. Hey, Miko King. So the child just stopped talking. So you come in and then there's mommy, everything is fine. Everything is okay. Daddy, everything is okay. And again, every mistake becomes a lecture, like you're saying. Every mistake becomes a lecture. Like, there's some who can say, sit down. I'm sitting here. Do you know that's my time? This thing wasn't like that. What do you mean? Brother Eben, parents, we know you are listening, you are following. Another reason is every confession becomes punishment. Because, you see, probably this child went to this extent because she felt, if I come out, you see, when the uncle left, she couldn't say it.
Yeah.
Until they brought in a home tutor. And then what happened? She decided,
it rekindled that gap.
Exactly. Yeah. So, what if I tell mommy, hey, abomination. So, at the end of the day, eventually the children learn that talking is dangerous. So they become silent. But James chapter 1 verse 19 tells us, be quick to listen. Parents, please, let's take this. Let's be quick to listen. Sometimes the silence is speaking to us. Mm-hmm. Our children's silence is speaking to us.
Screaming.
Be quick. It is. Thank you very much. That's a very good word. Screaming. It's screaming. It's shouting. Calling us. Slow to speak. And when you realize the silence, the other time I shared, sometimes don't talk. Last week I was telling us, when the child gets the boldness to come to you, sometimes don't talk. It's like the moment the child tells you, this is the reason why I'm not able to talk to you, we become defensive. We become this or we become that. Don't talk.
But when you shut that emotional door,
it may
never open again.
They'll never open up. Slow to become angry. Listen, this scripture is not for that neighbor you are fighting with. From today, James chapter 1 verse 19. From today, James chapter 1 verse 19. This scripture, as a parent, is not for your neighbor. It's not for that church member you are fighting with. It's not for that woman behind your house. It is for you. And your parenting style for your children. He says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And slow to become angry. Now, the question is, what if God gave parents this first because he knew listening builds connection? dear parents, what if God actually, this scripture is not for you to, somebody will get, I mean, irritated and say, eh, the Bible tells me, no. What if the Bible gave us this scripture for our children? Be slow. They come to us, let's slow down. Let's quick to listen to them and then slow to anger. Now, four things every child is secretly asking. Parents, if you are listening, let me tell you some of the things they are secretly asking. Research repeatedly shows children are asking, do you see me? Your son is asking, your daughter is asking, do you see me? Two, do you hear me? Sometimes when the children come by, when the moment they start, hey, keep quiet. Hey, shut up. Hey, get away. Number three, they ask, do I matter? Number four, am I safe with you? Your children ask, so, am I safe with you?
Do you care?
Do you care? I mean, not physically. The safety they're asking for is not physical safety. Yeah, because you've built the house, you've gotten all the security, you are providing for them. But they're asking, am I emotionally safe with my parents? Or are you crushing my spirit? Every conversation answers those questions. One of the, when we were doing the bad friends, negative influence and all those things, children do not, I mean, the key thing is most times, but they've been, children follow friends more than parents. Mm-hmm. As we discussed, then they follow friends more than parents because I have these parents often asking, why does my child listen to friends more than me? The answer is simple. It will hurt. Children follow the voice they trust most. Mm-hmm. They follow the voice they trust most. So, children open up to the person who feels safest. This child opened up to the uncle because in the beginning, the uncle came in with gadgets and toys. So, she felt, okay, let me open up. And then before she knew it, the uncle had turned that thing into something else. We have more to talk about, but because of our time, influence follows connection every time. And so, dear parents, maybe I will have to pause here so that we continue next week. But I will end with this. Malachi chapter 4, verse 6. He will turn the hearts of the parents to their children and the hearts of the children to their parents. Notice what God promises to restore, not programs. Not buildings, not systems. He said hearts.
Yeah.
Because when hearts disconnect, generations drift. Judges chapter 2 verse 10, you could see that the parents stopped the conversations because hearts disconnected.
Yeah.
And so I'm pleading with us parents that with our children tonight, don't just manage behavior, pursue connection. Don't just monitor activities, pursue their hearts. Ask what is happening inside my child. Go to your child. Because the child whose heart you can reach is a child whose future you can shape. That's how generations are protected. One conversation, one heart, one relationship at a time. We'll continue next week. So God bless everybody who listened, especially my teachers, especially my parents, Haven Christ Christian School, and everybody at church. God bless us all. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You know, it's a very serious issue we are talking about because we are virtually seeing homes being destroyed. We are seeing lives being destroyed. But it's happening gradually. It's a gradual destruction. And I believe these wake-up messages should give us the seriousness of the issues at stake. We'll be talking, we'll be going on, eventually also come to what is also causing the distraction, what is making it difficult for parents to have time for their children. We'll be looking at all these as well. So God willing, next week, you'll be coming your way. Thank you for tuning in. Good night, and God bless you. This is Spirit 88.3 FM, the program Issues of Life.